Welcome to Bonding Time, the BDA's podcast series on the U.S. bond markets, and typically through a D.C. lens. This podcast series will cover a range of issues, including the latest bond market technologies, politics and federal regulation, the challenges of COVID, and the new remote workforce, diversity and inclusion on the trading desk, and interviews with bond market leadership from across the country. As the only D.C.-based trade group exclusively focused on the U.S. bond markets, the BDA is really excited to bring you this new product, which we hope adds some tangible value to you and your business.
Thanks again for joining Bonding Time. I'm Brett Bolton with the BDA, and we have Tom Kozlik on from Hilltop Securities today to discuss public finance. We'll call it in the world of stimulus, Tom, if that works for you. You recently published a piece for the BDA Quarterly Magazine where you discussed a potential golden age for public finance. You hit on the prior six stimulus bills and considered infrastructure, the potential infrastructure bill, a seventh stimulus package. Can you expound on that a little bit and what's your view on the golden age for public finance? What exactly you mean on that?
Yeah, let's first hit the distinction between the infrastructure proposal and what you just described. Is it potentially being the seventh phase of COVID relief? Really, the American Rescue Plan that was enacted on March 11th was the sixth phase of the fiscal policy response to COVID-19. It totaled almost $6.5 trillion of federal spending on that. You know, at the time, meaning a couple of weeks ago, I think that there were some who were describing, myself included, as a infrastructure package as potentially a seventh phase. But I think that, you know, at least I'm not sure about others' opinions, but I've gotten away from describing the potential infrastructure package as being a seventh phase. And the reason for that is because what it is that potentially be included, I think, would be much more medium and long-term focused. There definitely are funds for spending that would impact employment and jobs, for example. But that is not necessarily the getting jobs back in just the next year or two, I don't think is the focus of the infrastructure package. I think that the bigger picture focus is much more medium and long term. You know, and one of the examples that I'll use is, you know, funding for electric vehicles. One of the ideas that could be included would be a subsidy for the purchase of electric vehicles, number one. And there's also potential funding for infrastructure, charging stations and things that could really help create that as a more significant business and product going forward. And I think that, you know, that is just one of the many examples of how transformative that infrastructure package could end up being.
So, Tom, in your article for the BDA magazine, you mentioned that this could be a golden age for public finance. Can you expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, I think that really had to do with the significant amount of money that is coming from the federal government that's focused on public finance. And one of the things that a lot of folks are recognizing is that there was $350 billion of almost completely unencumbered direct aid that's flowing to state and local governments in the American Rescue package that was signed into law and was enacted in the beginning or middle of March. But one of the other things that people I don't think are really focusing on is there was another, let's call it $300 billion, that is also directly related to other sectors in public finance, like healthcare and schools and mass transit. And I'd say that as a result of that $650 billion, in addition to whatever it ends up being on the infrastructure side, there's going to be a lot of positive things are going to happen, whether it be from a credit perspective or even just on the business side in public finance in the coming. And the time horizon that I'm giving this is probably the next 1 to 3 years. The reason I'm saying the next 1 to 3 years is because folks need to remember that before COVID, there were certain state, you know, and some significant state and local governments that were structurally unbalanced. Not everything on the credit landscape was perfect going into COVID. And I think that the amounts of money that we're talking about are going to help budgets in the next, you know, couple of years. But whether or not those state and local governments that were structurally imbalanced before COVID, it remains to be seen of how it is that those budgets are going to come, you know, what they're going to look like in the next 2 to 3 years. And so there is a golden age, I think, for at least the next couple of years. But I think there are a lot of questions that remain about how it is that entities handle themselves and the money that's coming in over the next couple of years.
Understood. And let's talk about the prior stimulus bills, and we can also look forward to the infrastructure package that's being debated currently. Other than the muni provisions I want to discuss momentarily, is there something that we're missing within those packages that could really help the longer term credit situation for these localities? I know there's been tons of money thrown at all of these governments. Is there something the federal government's missing? Is this too much? Is this too little? What more could be done?
Well, one of the things, you know, where we stand right now, and as we're recording this, I'll mention to our listeners that we are in the middle, it's about the middle of April. And one of the things that is in process right now is the Treasury Department is, you know, Treasury Department has 60 days from the time of enactment of the rescue package to figure out the details of how those funds are going to be dispersed and the details of what those funds could be used for. There was some general guidance that was included, but we're still in the kind of middle stage of the Treasury Department going through that process of figuring out the details. So it's really not going to be until the middle of May, beginning to middle of May, that we're expecting to hear more detail out of the Treasury Department about how those funds are going to be, exactly how those funds are going to be dispersed, and additional details about what they can be used for. And so I think that that's really the next step that we're waiting to see what is the guidance that comes out of Treasury, number one. And then number two, and this is going to happen over a little bit of a longer period of time, you know, how it is that those funds, that money is incorporated into budgets is one of the other things that I'm going to be looking forward to. But like I said, that's going to be something that's going to play itself out over the next budget cycle or two.
So now let's turn our attention to this. I don't want to say mythical anymore. It's happening, an infrastructure package. While size and scope, I think, are still yet to be debated, there has been some news in the recent week. As Tom mentioned, it is April 13th when we are recording. And I believe it was last Thursday or Friday, Senator Manchin of West Virginia almost blew the thing up, making corporate tax increases a non-starter for Republicans in the Senate. From my perspective, Tom, I guess that's really not a gigantic surprise, but I found it very interesting that he came out so strongly and I think really caught the administration by surprise. And almost, it's too early to see, but this might throw this whole debate into a tailspin here for the next couple of weeks. Is that your take, or am I misreading this at this point?
No, I don't think so. And I think that that's one of the reasons why it is that there is a much, relatively speaking, there's a little bit of a more longer term view of when this is likely to play itself out and get kind of approved. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Speaker Pelosi over the last few weeks was saying that she was targeting that she'd like to get something passed through the House before the July 4th recess. That being said, it seems as though, you know, the more hiccups like it is that you're talking about happen, and I'm guessing that there are probably going to be more hiccups that occur. Now, the potential timing, you know, folks are saying that it might not be until the end of July or even until, you know, September that something happens. And I think that, you know, lawmakers, they might be targeting the end of July, but, you know, there's a pretty big recess through in the month of August. And so if they don't get something done by the end of July, it's going to go into, you know, the second half of the year.
I think you're right, Tom. Congress loves to set deadlines that they miss. But with that being said, I think a more realistic time frame, as you mentioned, would be late September, where the Surface Transportation Reauthorization Package expires yet again. We forget that they punted that last year to the end of September. So I really think early fall for the surface transportation / infrastructure package is a good time frame. That being said, I really want to dig into some of the muni details. The BDA hosted Richard Neal, who's the House Ways and Means Chairman, 10 or 12 days ago, and he wanted to reiterate the point that munis were not a negotiable item. So we took that as a good sign that our priorities, such as advancer fundings, bank qualified debt, expansion of private activity bonds, as well as a new direct pay bond program, will most likely be included, much like they were last year with the HR2 Moving Forward Act. I heard some news last week, and it's yet to materialize. And I asked you, Tom, about a new direct pay bond program. There are some rumors trickling out of the House that due to Senate parliamentarian budget rules, they would not be able to separate a direct pay bond program from sequestration. Is that a complete game changer? Do we need to turn our attention away from a new direct pay bond program if that's the actual drafted language in this bill?
So first of all, let me acknowledge that the taxable Build America bond program that existed back in 2009 and 2010, both from an issuer and an investor perspective at the time, it seemed like a success, you know, and really over the years, the reason why issuers soured those taxable Build America bonds was because of the sequestration process, or the process where, as a result of the automatic budget sequestration, they lost a small but important percentage of the amount of the subsidy that they were receiving from the federal government. So this is one of the key reasons of why it is that issuers have not been in favor of a, you know, BAB-like or direct pay bond program, because they've already had that subsidy reduced. And I would be surprised that if there was something that was not sequestration proof, issuers are going to look very, very favorably on it. I think that that's something that's going to be very important from an issuer perspective, because they've already been burned by the smaller federal government subsidy. And, you know, they're going to be very sensitive to that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I know that the issuer community is pushing back pretty hard already on that provision. So that's a good step in the right direction. And again, at the BDA, we feel fairly confident that advancer fundings are being targeted, bank qualified debts being targeted. And there are some good possibilities, I think, for PAB expansion, especially within the ESG green bond side of the world. So all good there. And that's definitely something I wanted to put on everybody's radar, something that we're working on at the BDA. So that's all I had, Tom, but I do want to plug your piece in the BDA Quarterly Fixed Income magazine that was sent out the first week of April. Please check it out. There's some good charts and details really, truly explaining how we could be on the cusp of the golden age for public finance if this bill, along with the other already passed bills, comes to fruition. So take a look at that. Tom, anything else I missed that you might want to discuss here?
Not right now, but I'd have to imagine that things are going to continue to move very quickly. Things are going to change. So I'm looking forward to coming back and talking to you again soon.
Yeah, we'll talk to you in May. So thanks again.